We're going to start this episode with a moment of silence for the victims in the Buffalo mass shooting. Hate has no place in this country, yet it overwhelmingly is surrounding us. Welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Peju Bambushi Roethlisberger.
Hi, and I'm Naomi Bambushi.
And this is the Bambushi Happy Hour Pop Edition. How are you, Ma? What's up?
I'm wonderful, sweetie. How are you? The only thing that's up is the warm weather. And I had a lovely weekend. Enjoyed the Mexican sugar. Had lovely food and cocktails, and just had a wonderful weekend.
Okay, good. Well,
of course, as you mentioned earlier, our hearts and prayers goes out to the victim of the Buffalo mass shooting.
Yeah, the victims, yeah.
The victims, the families and victims.
Victims, yeah.
Our hearts and prayers go out to those families. And to all the victims, because there have been so many and families.
There's been church shootings. There's been shootings in California. There's been shootings in Houston. It's just all the time. It's becoming routine. So,
daughter, we're going to have a separate show on that topic because it's so much and so deep and affects so many people. So we're going to have a separate show on that.
Okay.
Moving forward. Okay, guys.
Okay. Well, you know, I am, you know, on a happier note, I'm looking forward to another girls' weekend coming up. So just to let everyone know.
We are
only having one show this week. However, next week we're going to be back with three episodes, including a special guest. And it is also the anniversary of the Bambushi Happy Hour coming up next week. So we'll give you obviously more details. So yeah, one year. Could you believe it?
Oh my goodness. I've had so much fun and I continue to enjoy it so much. Okay. That is so good. So, and we'll have a special edition and we'll have a special cocktail for that anniversary show.
Oh, wow, Ma. Good. I'm glad you got all that down pat. All right. So let's get into what we are sipping on. We are sipping on some vodka, and this is Island John Mango Peach Vodka, and it is Black owned from Levi and Kevin John, and it's available right now in Texas and also New York. So, Ma, do you want to lead us in with the toast?
Okay, guys. Long life and prosperity, health, wealth, and happiness. Salud.
Okay. So let's start off with the first topic. So this topic is a little serious, it's very serious actually, but it was trending. So Representative Eric Swalwell, who I like, from California, has received a lot of criticism regarding a recent tweet about his four-year-old child's apparent reaction to the massacre, the hate crime in Buffalo. So he said, my four-year-old just FaceTimed to ask what I'm doing to help the people of Buffalo and why did the bad man do this? And of course he said, absolutely gutting. So he, like, you know, everyone said, did your four-year-old really do that? I mean, was this just for, you know, to overemphasize, obviously, the tremendous, you know, massacre that happened and just the seriousness of this, you know, incident. Is it fair to criticize Representative Swalwell, or do you think it's much to do about nothing and the Republicans just trying to pounce on, you know, someone who's very concerned about the fate of our country?
I think it's much ado about nothing. I think he was genuine in his comments. And I do recall you at 4 years old. And at 4 years old, you were fully capable of asking that kind of question. And others. I've seen other 4 years old, four-year-olds who were fully capable of asking that question, creating, you know, long narratives and stories and understanding to the extent that a four-year-old can. I think it's much ado about nothing. And I think Senator Swalwell is a good guy, you know, and I think it's much ado about nothing. I think it's more, you know, negativity and, you know, false accusations coming from the extreme right. And that's what I think.
Well, you know, I agree with you, Ma. I think that he had good intentions. I think that he has a good heart. I think he's just a concerned, you know, representative. I think he is a concerned politician. He cares about his community and he sees what's going on. And, you know, he doesn't know what to do except to, you know, let people know how alarming it is that a child that age understands that it's wrong, that this is not the way we're supposed to live. So I didn't have a problem with it. I didn't have a problem with him saying what he said. He said what he said, and I applaud him for that.
Right, absolutely. And in fact, you know, so many on the far right are so guilty of being extremely insensitive. And in fact, many of them engage in this type of hateful rhetoric themselves. So, okay, that's all I want to say about that. I think it's much ado about nothing.
Okay, so let's move on to another topic that is not as severe, but the circumstances are definitely serious. Miss Bette Midler is under fire for her tweet in response to a post about the nationwide shortage on baby formula. And so 3% of American companies control over 90% of the market, and restrictive regulations backed by lobbying prohibit the sale of foreign formulas, just to let you guys know. So we know there's a shortage, right? So her tweet was, "Try breastfeeding. It's free and available on demand." So obviously, a lot of people weren't happy with what Bette said. It was insensitive. It was not funny. Obviously, we know there are many women who cannot breastfeed for many different reasons. Normally, it's for health reasons.
Absolutely.
But go ahead, Ma.
I think she was tone deaf in this particular situation.
As a woman?
I think she was tone deaf because she didn't fully understand that there's a large percentage of women who simply cannot breastfeed. It's not fully available on demand.
Right.
There are many women who simply, because you can be a woman who takes allergy medicines or injections. You could be a diabetic woman, any number
Diabetic women do breastfeed though, Ma.
Well, it depends because on what medication they're on. It really depends. No, there's many different variations. It depends. So, because there's gestational diabetes. So, we know that sometimes babies are born diabetic. I mean, we know all that, but sometimes they cannot. It depends. The other thing is this. Here's the real issue. What she said, it was insensitive because they're women for many different health reasons are not able. You know, I have actually seen in the hospital, the nurses take the baby from a mommy who was breastfeeding because the mommy was on hypertension medication. Mm-hmm. And she didn't know. And she was a very young mommy, you know. Mm-hmm. So Bette Midler thought she was being funny, but it wasn't as funny as she thought it was. That's all. It was, you know, it was inconsiderate and short-sighted. And that's really all. You know, there's not a lot more to say about that. I think if she had given it more thought, maybe she wouldn't have said it. On one hand, on the other hand, maybe people are taking her comments too seriously. Maybe they should take it as tongue in cheek and know that she really was not serious. And she just thought it was funny.
Is Bette Midler a comedian? I mean, I know she's an actress and sings.
She's not really a comedian, but throughout the years, but she sort of had, she was sort of a comic musician, you know, if there's such a thing. You know, she always made jokes about breasts because she was always top heavy. And she always made, but her jokes were, she always made jokes about breasts. And referred to the girls and the this and the that. She always made jokes about her own breasts. And
that's a little bit different.
Well, I mean, some singers, she's a singer. Some singers don't joke about their breasts. Patti LaBelle is top heavy.
No. I didn't mean that, Ma. I just meant making fun of yourself no matter what is different.
Well, she always made jokes. Okay,
right.
She always
self-deprecation is
listen.
Different
the name
to
of her background singers were the Harlots. Okay, she was always raunchy. Okay, now this was not necessarily a raunchy joke because, and it took on a different tone because there's a legitimate crisis, you know, regarding baby formula. So it's not really, you know, when you consider the context, you know, and the environment in which she told the joke, it makes it a lot less funny.
No, I got you.
Yeah.
So, I got you.
You know, so I mean, this is another one, kind of much ado about nothing, but she told, a kind of bad joke.
Okay. All right. So let's move on. Let's move on to your friend. Well, actually, I think you kind of like him. So I was joking, but actually, I think you do like him a little bit. Diddy. So Diddy hosted and executive produced the Billboard Music Awards. And his whole theme for the show was he was uncanceling people. And so in particular, Travis Scott and Morgan Wallen. Do you know Morgan Wallen, Ma? Do you know
who he is? I don't. That name doesn't even ring a bell.
Okay, so he is a country singer. And Morgan got caught on video about a year ago. I don't know. Anyway, about a year ago, using the N-word. And you can go to the video and see how he used it. It wasn't the typical quote unquote ER, but he's a white man and he used the N-word. And so
he used it how, talking to who about what?
He was talking to his friends and he was drunk. He was in Nashville.
Was he calling them the N-word or was he calling African Americans the N-word?
I couldn't tell. It looked kind it looked kind of grainy, but I think it was some of his friends and he was, I think they were white and he was referring to them and using the N-word.
He was calling them the N-word.
Yes, yes. He was just like, look out for that punk A-N, you know, look out like that type of thing. Cause he was going into his house.
About his own friends.
His own friends, right.
Right, who are white.
I think they were white.
Okay.
I don't.
He was using it in a generic sense.
He was using it in a generic sense, right.
Okay.
So because of that, he obviously got in trouble. His label suspended him for a little bit indefinitely. He also, they took his music off the country stations for a short period of time, and he was banned from the American Country Music Awards, it seemed like for a year. Then come, you know, next year, he wins like all the top awards at the Country Music Awards.
The way it always goes.
The sales skyrocket, pay hike. Right.
He ends up making more money.
And he won like top male country artists at the Billboard Music Awards show. So my question to you, Ma, is do you think that Diddy should have invited Travis Scott and Morgan Wallen to the show? And he was, like I said, he was the executive producer, Diddy. He was a host and executive producer.
I see. It's hard for me to assess the thing about the Waylon Jennings. It's hard for me to assess that.
Waylon Jennings? Did I say that?
Oh, Waylon Jennings is another country singer, I believe.
Morgan Wallen.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, that's another, I'm pretty sure that's another country singer. But it's hard for me to assess that without really knowing what's going on. Because in my opinion, if he called his own white friends the N-word, he just adopted it. You got me? He's not offending anyone except them, but he's just calling them just a name, you know, that is just used very generically, you know, if he's talking to his white friends. Like you might look over at your, you know, but anyway, okay. But anyhow, all I'm saying is I don't know what he was doing with that. If he was talking to his black friends and just calling him, you know, nigga, get over here or get away from here, or whatever he was saying, then I got a problem. Okay. But if he was talking to white friends and said, nigga, get over here, then I wouldn't have the same type of problem because I know it's no longer racialized. You understand? Are you understanding me?
I understand, Mom.
Whether you agree, but then it's not racialized. You know, he's just using it as just a word. You know,
okay. I'll send you. I forgot to send you a video. That's my bad.
But if he's referring to other African Americans like that, then
I don't think he was. I don't think he was.
Let's just say, well, I'm going to give both answers. If he was referring to other white people, it's not racialized anymore. It's just like a word.
So do you think he should use that word, Ma?
It's not as bad. You know, maybe he shouldn't use it.
I don't think white people should use that word. I really just don't.
Well, it's their word. Who do you think made it up? I don't think anybody black made it up. It's the word they created. Okay. It needs to be for them. It's their own word. They need to use it with each other. It's their own word. Okay. But no, but you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying. It's their word. You're saying you don't think they should use it. They're the ones that created it. Okay. So it's not a nice word in general. Okay. Yeah. You all got all that. Come on, let's not go through the history of it.
All right. I didn't say anything.
We're gonna go all into the history. Then the history of it, they didn't just say nigga, they said black nigra. Okay. And it was exclusively for black people. So let's not go all the way back to the back to the back to the back. Okay.
Okay, Ma.
Now, if we're gonna bring it on up to 2022.
Is that what year we're in? I don't even know anymore.
It's a lot less offensive, or 2021, whenever you said it. I don't know.
No, this is 20. He said it in 2021. Okay. And this is 2022.
So it's a lot less offensive than it would be if he's using it to his white friends, referring to them, than it would be if he was talking to his black friends, referring to them because of the history. Okay?
Okay.
It's not right for him to use it at all.
Okay.
But it's a heck of a lot less offensive and a hell of a lot easier for me to forgive you if you're looking over at your white friends and calling them niggas. Okay? I can even almost laugh at that. But if you're talking to another black man, I got a problem with you. Okay? So I don't know what Diddy based his decision on, but I'm giving you my view on both.
Now, okay, and Travis, what about Travis Scott?
Travis Scott, I don't know why, what the thing, because Travis Scott, because the tragedy with the people who were, you know, well, I don't think Travis Scott, I don't know how culpable Travis Scott was, but I will say this, I know for sure, unless Travis Scott is totally out of his rabbit ass mind, Travis Scott did not think that people were being killed and injured.
No,
and all that.
Of course not.
So I would like to say that I would have the grace to be forgiving, well, to both of them. But Travis Scott in particular, I think the situation was out of control and out of his hands, and he didn't even know what in the hell was happening.
I don't think, well, with Travis Scott, like you said, I know that he never thought that anyone was going to be killed coming to his concert. I know that was never his intention.
I'm on board with you, daughter.
Whatever type of precautions, the security and stuff that they need to have in place, that's something they need to have in place. And I think he thought
what needed to be handled was being handled. Uh-huh. I think he thought whatever needed to be happening in terms of evacuation and safety measures, I think Travis Scott thought that's what was happening.
Well, you know what I also think, Ma? I also think that in general, none of us ever believe that the worst that can happen actually is going to happen. You know, like the worst case scenario, if this happened, if that happened, if that happened, then this would be, you know, I just think that was, that's most people's mentality. And so I give him a pass. Of course, he has to, you know, pay whatever he needs to pay because the people were coming to see him and all that. So I get that. As far as the Morgan guy, I don't really know him too much. I heard the video. I don't think that any white person should use the N-word. I don't like it. I don't like the N-word, period. But when Black people say it, it's just like, whatever. Okay, that's your thing. Fine. But I'm not a fan of white people saying it. And I think that that's something that they should completely take out of their vocabulary.
Okay, so, but the question posed was,
do I think he should have
overlooked it or forgiven it or whatever? Do we think Puffy should have shown grace?
So I think he should have shown grace. Doing,
showing grace.
I think he showed grace because he wants people to show grace to him.
So there you go.
Yes.
And that's why we all show grace.
Yes. Some of us are a little holier than thou, but
some of us don't think we need grace.
Well, I need grace, I can tell you that for sure.
I need it every day. Yeah. I need it sometimes. I don't even know what I said and why I need it, but I need it. I'm convinced I do need it. So
I know you and me both are in the same boat, Ma. I get you. Okay, so you know, good on Diddy for doing that. I understand why there was some criticism, you know, if you don't delve deep into everything, but we all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. All right, let's move on. Except you, Mom. Okay, so Ma, I don't know if you heard about this, but Ferrari, the car maker? Yes.
I had one back in the day.
Okay, so yes, Ferrari has apparently banned Justin Bieber and the Kardashians. They can no longer purchase, apparently it's new models, because Justin Bieber bought a Ferrari, kind of pimped it out, and then resold it, put it on up for auction or whatever it was, like within a few months. And so that was an issue. Don't know what the Kardashians did, maybe something similar to that, but Ferrari
those individuals to keep the cars.
For a year, you're not allowed to do anything like that.
Because so, that's advertising for their product.
Exactly, right.
Sure, you know, right.
So do you think that Ferrari should be able to ban people from buying their new models?
No, because let me tell you, because if I'm...
And they don't use the word ban. They just have them on a list. Or
whatever word they use, whatever euphemism they have going. Here's the thing. If I'm paying my money for it, okay, now if you gave it to me...
No, they bought it.
Okay, wait a minute. Now, if you gave it to me with the caveat that I have to keep it for a year...
Okay.
That's different. If you gave it to me free and clear, it's a gift. I can do any damn thing I want to do with it. Or if I purchased it with my own money, I can do any damn thing I want to do with it. It is only if you gave it to me free and clear,
okay,
or at some outrageous discount or whatever, and we have an agreement. Written agreement or verbal could hold up to, depends. Agreement that I have to keep it for a year and I don't honor that agreement, then I understand that you have recourse.
Well, they probably do have that type of agreement.
But if you gave it to me free and clear, or if I paid my money for it free and clear, then I don't even know what you're talking about. But in order for Ferrari to take this stance, mm-hmm. apparently there was a discussion with Justin Bieber. They wouldn't just assume
right.
or even pay attention to what these individuals did with the car once it was paid for.
That's true.
You know, so I don't know what agreement they had, and I don't know how or why.
Apparently, every new Ferrari that you buy, you can't do anything with it. You can't drastically alter it within the first year.
Part of the contract with Ferrari and you didn't honor it, then of course there's recourse.
Do you think that's reasonable? Do you think it's reasonable to have a contract like that?
I think it's reasonable in one way.
Okay.
If there's something proprietary about your Ferrari.
Well, it is. Yeah, these in particular are, you know, custom Ferrari models. So yeah.
Well, if it's proprietary,
yeah,
and you didn't pay for it. If it's proprietary and you paid for it, well, damn it, you paid it for to make it just for you. You paid for it to have it how you want it.
I gotcha.
But if it's proprietary and Ferrari created everything, you got me? And you're basically advertising their car because of your fame,
mm-hmm.
then Ferrari has recourse. You got me?
Okay.
But if it's proprietary and, you know, you paid your money, back off, Ferrari. But if it's proprietary and I made it and it's got every kind of bell and whistle and every kind of magical thing under the sun, and I say, Justin Bieber, Kardashian people, I just want you to drive this for a year. You don't have to do anything. Don't do anything but keep it and mm-hmm. drive it for a year. But if you violate that, then we have a problem. Okay, but if they you follow me, I keep repeating the same.
I follow you, man. I got you.
How I see. If they paid their money, fine. If Ferrari gave,
let me get in so we can
drive it for a year. Then Ferrari, no.
Let me get in so we can move on. If you signed a contract and the contract says that you can't do such and such for a period of time, then Ferrari has the right to do whatever they feel like doing because you did not honor the contract. So right. whoever doesn't honor the contract, so be it. That's on them. They right. suffer the consequences.
Absolutely. But you said, did Ferrari, did I think it was right of Ferrari? And I was, you know, giving you examples as, you know, when I think it's appropriate.
I think that if you
do that or not.
I think that if it's your brand and you customize something for someone, then you can say whatever you want to say. The person has to agree to it. If they don't agree to it, that's a whole nother story. It's right. your brand, how you want to represent.
But I think it is fair for them to agree for Ferrari to ask them if Ferrari is giving it to them for free.
Well, I think they pay for it.
But, well, to me, when I pay for it, I don't give a damn what you say. I do what I want to do.
Okay. Well,
That's my attitude. Why? If I'm paying for something, are you going to control how I handle, how I take care of it, how I use it, and what I do with it? No.
Okay.
No. And apparently, that's the way the other people felt, too.
Okay. So let's move on. My, you do remember the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, correct?
I know of its existence, of course.
Okay, so someone that I wasn't familiar with, he's a doctor, clinical psychologist, Jordan Peterson.
Okay.
Never heard of him before. He made some comments about one of the cover models for Sports Illustrated. Just to let you know, Elon Musk's mom is a cover model, Kim Kardashian and Sierra.
Elon Musk?
It's not important. There's like four different cover models. I mentioned Elon Musk's mom is one of them. Kim Kardashian is another. Sierra is another. And this woman, Yumi Nu, is a plus size model and a singer. And under her photo, the guy, Jordan Peterson, he said, sorry, not beautiful, and no amount of authoritarian tolerance is going to change that. Well, a lot of people didn't like what he said, and he's claiming that he's going to go off Twitter, although he has millions of followers and whatever. So was that out of bounds for him to make that comment regarding the cover model? Yes, he's one of the cover models.
He's fat shaming the plus size model.
Yes, I completely think that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I think that the whole thing of inclusiveness is for us to focus on all types of beauty.
Right. Is he sounding Kevin Samuel-ish? Are we going there with this man?
He did sound that way. And he also is very traditional, whatever that means. So I don't like that. Listen, I think that everybody wants to fit into whatever they think is popular, whatever. We all need to appreciate beauty in all different sizes, all different shades, and all those different things.
If you don't like my apples, don't shake my tree.
Don't say anything. So
if he doesn't care for her size, move on to the size that you like.
Why did he need to comment? That's my thing. Right. Why did he feel the need to comment?
Absolutely. Why does he need to comment? That is absolutely the thing. Don't comment. If you don't, many trees in the orchard, okay? Mm-hmm. If you don't like my apples, don't shake my tree. That's all. Keep it moving.
Well, I mean, there's nothing else really to say to that. He should just be quiet and
absolutely
stop. Okay.
Please. I don't even want to say nothing. There's so many things to be said, but I just won't. I'll just be too, gracious to say many things that are on my mind about men when they go there with that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. When they go there with that kind of stuff, it's not good. It's never a good look. It's never a good thing.
No, it's not at all. Something else, another rumor. So Keisha Cole was rumored to be dating Antonio Brown.
That's a good match.
No one is quite sure exactly what is going on there because Keisha Cole has commented and, she didn't really like some of the things that AB said.
You are even worse than I am with picking men. Jesus Christ, Keisha.
Well, like I said, we don't know exactly what's going on there. We do know that they've been seen with each other. They've been in each other's social media accounts. Anyway, there was something that we thought that at least people thought that it was her tattoo of his initials, AB, on her back.
No.
And he wrote,
That AB stands for ass backwards. That choice you're making is ass backwards.
Antonio Brown said, you ain't pimping until you hit an R&B diva. And he put hashtag free agent, hashtag keep it pimping. So, yeah. Listen, Keisha. I don't know what's going on.
I know you're upset about a lot of sadness.
She has a lot of sadness. She has a lot,
Keisha. I know where you're coming from, but let that be just a pit stop. Don't let that be permanent. Let that be a pit stop. Have whatever fun you can have with him, whatever that is. Have it. You need it for your little comfort and whatever. And keep it moving. Keep it moving, honey. You deserve so much more. Right now, Antonio, he needs to work on himself. Yeah. He doesn't even have it to offer right now to anyone.
No, he doesn't. And I think that Keisha understands that now. I think she received a lot of backlash and, wasn't having it. I don't know, like I said, what's going on between them. What I will say is that I really would like for women to appreciate themselves more, to understand their wealth,
keep it in perspective,
what they deserve, how talented, how smart, how beautiful we are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you needed or wanted him to comfort you for a few minutes or, a couple of weeks, a month or whatever, all well and good. But please know, your future does not lie with a person who needs to find himself.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Keisha. Yeah. We're all rooting for you. But keep it moving. Do your thing. Have your fun, with him. You might need him on, cold nights or cold days or whatever.
Cold nights or cold days. I'll leave that alone.
Do your thing. Do whatever you're going to do. But understand, it's all about the fun. And it's that very short, temporary season. Okay? Don't give him no more than 6 months. Okay? If that much. And then
maybe 6 weeks.
Like, there you go. Okay. There you go. And be out, Keisha. Okay.
All right. So let's move on to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is appearing he's going to be on David Letterman's show that's coming up soon. I think it's coming up this month.
Right. Yeah, it's coming up. Right. Remind me about that, daughter. I have to make sure I see that.
Well, we'll probably discuss it on the show, Mom. Anyway, he's discussing his personal use of weed. He said he started at the age of 22. And I quote, "To me, it clears the distractions out of your brain a little bit. It settles you down. It's like having a glass of wine." And then, of course, David Letterman asked him, "Did he smoke today?" And he said, "I'm actually high right now." I don't think KD was actually high right then when he spoke to him because he was very mellow. So, Ma, should athletes smoke weed?
Of course. Of course, athletes should smoke weed. The same as everybody else. What are they? Superhuman, abnormal? I mean, what are they? Subhuman, extra human?
No, I mean, do you think it will hinder their performance?
I didn't say they should smoke it right before they go on the court. I just meant in general, in life.
Okay.
Listen, I'm not an expert smoking weed, but I'm certainly experienced. So what I want to say is that when I was a traditional weed smoker and smoked just pure weed, not with all kind of, hallucinogenic and craziness in it, but just natural, healthy marijuana.
Okay. And we have an expert coming on to tell us about that later on.
Okay. Listen, this is from me.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm kind of, very experienced, from years ago.
Okay.
And now I do, the CBD and edibles. But anyhow, back before they had all that, and I, rolled joints, smoked weed, cleaned it, took the seeds and stems out like everybody. Okay.
Oh gosh.
Weed was really very much of an ambition killer. Okay. If you had anything to do and you smoke weed, whatever you had to do is getting pushed to the back burner because you just get mellow and high and chill or silly. You get the giggles, depending on the strength of the weed, or an aphrodisiac, depending on the strength of the weed, and stuff like that. Weed was not anything that really just bolstered your ambition in the way that cocaine may have done. Okay. So I'm saying this.
Oh,
I don't think it's a good idea for some people, weed is not an ambition killer. It makes them more creative. But I would say that overall, in general, I do not think you should smoke weed very close to the time you're going to have a sports activity, okay? You need your body moving, and weed is going to slow you up now.
Well, what's funny,
Ma? It's going to slow you up.
It's funny because
it's going to slow you up.
It's funny because when KD said that they were talking about, this last playoffs, and it wasn't a good playoff game for him, but he's had a stellar career from Asia, he just ran into a beast,
he just had a slump. He is spectacular. If he's been smoking weed since he's 22, come on, it has not slowed him down.
All right.
But what I'm saying, I wouldn't be, before I walk out on the court, let me smoke a joint. I personally, from my experience when I was, younger, I wouldn't do that. Okay.
Played in the WNBA?
I wasn't in the NBA, but
WNBA.
Or the WNBA, any of it. Yeah. I remember one time it doesn't count anymore. I remember one time I went to a class, this is back when I was in college, living in the dorms and all that, and I went to a class And I decided I smoke a little, get a little high before I go. I'm like, oh, come on in. Now just go on over here. And I was taking notes during the class. And then later on, when I, you know, got home and I looked at the notes, everything was off the lines. It was all crazy. It was just of no use to me at all. Okay. And that's from just regular weed. Okay. So all I'm saying to you
is that
also weed takes you, and you're not aggressive. If you want to be aggressive, you should not smoke weed. It does not make you aggressive. Okay. Not at all. So if I'm getting ready to go play basketball, I'm not going to smoke no weed. I'm not going to smoke weed because it makes you too mellowed out. You too content and you too mellowed out. And so I would not suggest smoking weed right before you're going to a competitive game. But if you smoke weed in general, you're off time and you just relaxing and partying or whatever you're doing or having your, you know, cool out time, it's perfectly fine. It's wonderful to smoke weed. That's perfectly fine.
All right, Ma. Let me
right very near the time that I need to perform.
What I will say is it's to me, it would be everything in moderation because it would be like drinking. Like you don't need to drink clearly before you have a game, or you don't need to be drunk before you go play a game. Like all these different things. To me, it's in moderation, and because some people become addicted.
Well, not just moderation. You should not. You could smoke a moderate amount of weed and then go play the game. You should not, in my opinion, smoke weed before a game. And whenever you do smoke it, it should be in moderation. But I think you really specifically should not smoke it before you're going to do a sport.
What if it helps? It seems like Marshawn Lynch may have done that.
Most people, he would be the there's always exceptions to prove the rule.
How do you know, that he's the exception? How do you know that these people haven't been smoking weed and just haven't been open about it? Because in the NFL, it's illegal. And the NBA, they said
okay. So I'm going to say to you, as a person who, you know, did smoke weed for, you know, smoke weed for years, and kind of know of how weed affects you and how it affects most people, that's it. And you have seen, although you have not been a THC user and weed smoker, you have seen the effects that it has on people. And would you say that it makes them more focused, more sensible?
No, it doesn't. Productive?
Right, because in general, it does not. In general, it's not that kind of drug.
Okay.
Now cocaine is that kind of drug.
But okay. Let's move on, Ma. Let's talk about, all right. So let's get into a couple of things that we wanted to talk about since we only have, like I said, one episode this week. That's a great episode so far, guys. Top shelf moments of the week. And to me, it's Kim Wexler from Better Call Saul. Now, we don't have to get into the specifics of the show, but I think Kim Wexler was trending. And I think it's important that we talk about it because it was a really good episode. The next episode to the mid-season finale, which is the last season of Better Call Saul.
Okay.
I wanted to get...
So why was Kim trending?
Did you see it, Mom?
I did see it, but why was she trending?
Well, we know that we don't know what's going to happen to her. It seems like she's on the edge of something not so great happening to her because she is breaking bad. She is, you know, but playing that I want to do good lawyer, you know, help the you know, less fortunate. But I also,
yeah, she's offered that position. She's also offered that position in one of those type of agencies, organizations where they help people who have been wrongfully, you
correct.
Know. Yeah. So what's trending about Kim? That they showed her as a kid when she stole and the mother encouraged her. Mm-hmm. behavior and mm-hmm. so the mother instilled that in her at an early age, and we're sort of able to see the evolution of Kim, how she presents as goody two shoes but she's really a demon.
Well, how, yes, the fact that she wants to take down Howard and that she is moving
and
straight ahead.
Forward. No. And when that other lawyer asked her how she left Howard's or how she left, HHM?
Yes. You
know, how she left HHM. She goes, oh, yeah.
Everything to
Howard,
him.
Howard is great. And if it wasn't for Howard, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. She is extreme. She's more extreme than Saul, aka Jimmy.
Oh, for sure. She's way, because Saul is ready to take it easy and chill and to think.
But we also know Kim is going to be gone.
But we don't know how she's going to be gone. I think that's the anticipation.
We don't know, but we see how Kim is contributing to her own demise.
Well, we do. Is she going to be disbarred? Is she going to go to jail? Is she going to kill? These things.
Yeah, I got you. But we see Kim as gangster, right?
She is totally gangster. Yes. Yeah. And she hasn't told Saul about Lalo, that he is alive. She hasn't told him that.
Lalo.
Yes. Well, she hasn't told Saul that. And Saul is just kind of going on about his business we don't have that person as a threat anymore. And we know he's very much alive. And so I'm really that's why she was trending. And people are just worried because she has become one of everybody's favorite characters. And to see her in the way that the actress, Rhea Seehorn, she is doing a phenomenal job.
She's doing a smoking job as Kim Wexler. Oh, yeah, she's doing a smoking job. But she's terrible. She's cutthroat.
So yes, before we go to the next subject, what do you think is going to happen to her during the mid-season finale, which is airing next week?
What do I think is going to happen to her, period?
Do you think what's going to happen to her
as an interim step? Or how she's going to meet her demise?
Well, we can talk about that for another episode. I'm talking about for the next episode, the mid-season finale, which is airing next week. What do you think is going to happen there?
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing's going to happen to her until she's destroyed.
Okay.
There's no interim step. She's going to keep on until she's destroyed. Because she scorched earth. You got me? She's doing the most.
And then Howard has
her is going to be the most.
And then Howard has a PI after Jimmy.
Everything that Jimmy is doing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. So. Yeah. Okay, we'll see.
Listen, Jimmy survives, but we already know down the road we will not be seeing Kim.
All right.
So, you know, you said what's going to happen to her for the next episode or so, or midterm and this and that.
Yeah.
Are you saying when do I think she's going to get it?
When do you think she's going to get it? Do you think she's going to, what I'm asking you, do you think she's going to die or do you think she's going to go to jail? At the finale, let's talk about that.
I think she's gonna die.
You think she's gonna die?
I'm just gonna guess. I think she's gonna die.
Okay. All right. I'm undecided. I really don't know.
I don't really know.
Most likely death.
She doesn't come back, and they don't see him. I don't see him going to jail to see. I don't hear reference about her. So there was no
reference about her at all. And
I'm thinking she died or was killed or whatever. You know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Keep your head up, Pay. Okay. Because, hey, you know, I mean, Kim, they might not kill her. Maybe she goes away. Maybe she leaves. Maybe she goes into protective custody. Maybe anything happens. So, you know, keep your head up, you know? Oh. Maybe I'm being a little too pessimistic.
Okay, we'll see. Yeah, yeah. All right. So the hooch moment of the week. I hate to do this because I'm a fan of the show, but I've been all over the place with the show. So Kevin Samuels guest starred on Atlanta. And the episode is called Rich W, Poor W. And so, if, you know, that's rich Wigger, poor Wigger. And so the central character is biracial, and he tries hard to fit in with his white friends, and he only has white friends.
He's a very Caucasian looking.
He doesn't
white looking biracial.
Yes, you have to look real close to see that he is biracial. He, you know, he looks more, definitely more white than anything. Anyway, his friends don't seem to know that he's black / biracial. And Kevin is someone who used to, what do you call it? An alumni of the school. He donates $1 million to the school, and he says that he will pay for tuition for all black students. So of course, the lead actor for this, Aaron, the character's name is Aaron, he has to convince Kevin and a panel of black people that he is black and that he deserves the scholarship. And so what we see is it's not really just about being black. It's about being black in America, whatever that means. So I had issue with this episode. To me, it was a huge moment of the week because I don't know where they were going with it. You see posters of Logan Paul comedy tour in Aaron's room. You know, his friends are saying that the black students, what do they get to free tuition for? They already go to school here for free. And, you know, some of the questions that the panel asks are, how much does Arizona iced tea cost? Six things to mix with Hennessy, the first place that you would take your cousin after getting out of jail. I just had problems with this episode. I didn't think it was funny. I didn't think it was clever. I really didn't get it. And then like go ahead, Mom. I'm just really running my mouth for this one.
And I'm going to say, you know, it was a comedy within a comedy. It was very tongue in cheek. I mean, this whole thing, this whole how black are you black enough test that, you know, they gave to this very white looking biracial student was ridiculous. And they knew it was ridiculous. So it was a, you know, comedy within a comedy. Mm-hmm. And I did not particularly like it. I, you know, not really sure where the writers were going with it, and especially in view of the fact that Danny Glover, you know, he is married to a white woman.
I don't know if they're married, but yeah.
Well, he goes with one.
They have two children. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, whatever is the case, I didn't know where they were going with it. I don't even know where the writer's head is. I thought they were getting and nice to see Kevin Samuels, but I thought that they were you know, I thought that they were like too cool for school, as I call it, you know. So
was no slander on Kevin Samuels because he played the role as best.
He played the role well.
Yeah,
he played what he was supposed to do very well, you know. But it had to do with the writing, and you know, in general, I kind of was left with a big question mark. You know, like, what was the point? I mean, all of it was foolish and silly, but what did it mean? What was the, was there a conclusion? Was there, you just throwing a whole big potpourri of political views? I'm not really sure what the message was. I'm not exactly sure. The message could have been very negative. Mm-hmm. And the message, I don't see, I'm not really sure, you know, I'm not really sure where he was going, and I don't want to, you know, make an assessment that is unfair to the writers, but I'm leaning more toward the writers were poking fun at very serious issues.
I didn't enjoy it.
I wasn't really feeling it.
This was probably the worst episode of the season for me. There were some hit and misses throughout the season. Some were very strong, and then others, you know, I was kind of perplexed. But to me, I just felt that this was they went a little too far with everything, and it wasn't, you don't know what they're trying to say. You don't know, like at the end when, you know, he breaks his character, he breaks the fourth wall And and he's, you know, winking his eyes, or, you know, about the white woman, "I've never been more attracted to you than ever," you know. And at this point, he has gone to, you know, being more of, instead of identifying with being white, he was identifying more with being Black at this point. And then, right, you know, he says that about the white woman. I didn't think that was funny. I don't know what they were trying to do with that. That was really
the whole thing, because he didn't get into a particular school. Now his future is working in the Foot Locker.
Right. And what happens to financial aid? Wait, what happens to that?
And not only that, what happened to all the other schools?
Right.
It was ridiculous.
To me, it was one of the laziest writing jobs.
Now he's relegated to working in the shoe store or whatever.
Right.
And you know, and when the young white girl comes in and asks him how he's doing and what he's doing, well, it's like, nothing. I'm just around here working in the shoe store. Why the hell couldn't he be in another college? I didn't like it at all.
Okay, so my three things that made you smile.
The three things that make me smile all the time. In fact, I'm going to be going stargazing sometime before the summer's over. I'm going to go specifically stargazing in the area. So you know what the things are: the sun, the stars, and the moon. I'm actually going stargazing. Is a wonderful thing.
Okay, that's enough, Ma. Good, good for your stargazing.
And romantic.
Oh, you didn't tell me it was a date. Oh, I got it. You said it was a date. I know, I got it. So for me, it's Mary J. Blige getting the Icon Award at the Billboard Music Awards show. Kudos to her.
Shout out to Mary J.
Well deserved. The NBA playoffs have been very exciting. I'm enjoying it, loving it. And then number three, so Portland Pride Parade rejected JP Morgan's sponsorship amid concerns over the bank's donation to politicians who support anti-LGBTQ causes. So I love them standing up to like corporate, to, you know, big banks. So Ma, you know, is there anything that you want to say before we go?
I want to say, everyone, enjoy every day. Enjoy every day, put things in perspective. As long as you have your health, your strength, and, you know, people around you who care about you, you know, and if you're not feeling love, then you give love. Okay. The thing you need is the thing you should be giving. Okay. If you're feeling
love, I love that,
then give love.
Thanks for listening, guys. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Bambushi Happy Hour, and also at All Things Feiju. And guys, subscribe to us on our YouTube channel, the home of the Bambushi Happy Hour at All Things Feiju. Don't forget, of course, next week we have 3 episodes coming up, and it's our 1-year anniversary. We thank you so much for the support, and don't forget to tell everybody about us. Good thing, though. All right. Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye, everyone. Bye.